concern.
Hare Krishna. Matin Krishne Paratak Svatova Mito Vipandit Griha Vritanam Vishitam Vishitam Adanta Gobhi Vishitam Tamisram Munakpunascha Vitacharvananam. Okay, who wants, raise your hand, who wants to say what it means without whether you know it by heart or not. Can anyone explain what this word, what this verse means? No, Adanta Gobhi means uncontrolled senses. Yeah, Gobhi is a word for sense. That's the entering into darkness. Yeah. Now, in this verse, if it's good to memorize the whole verse, but this last line is like a common phrase that you can use. Punok punash charvita charvananam. Repeatedly chewing the chewed. And I like to say, today it's like viewing the viewed. You know, most people, most of the Maya goes through screens, right? Whether it's the computer screen or TV screen. Viewing the viewed. Think about it. Okay, anyone else want to try chanting that? How much have we worked on this verse? We're just beginning? All right, the way I have a certain system for memorizing verses. I would divide it into seven easy steps for memorizing verses. my specialty. So here's my little, if you want to take notes, this is the first thing is you want to read the translation. You have to determine which verse is memorable. That you find by your own reading, by hearing, reading Prabhupada's books and seeing what he quotes in the purports, and by hearing lectures, and this is very, very often quoted. This verse, the next verse, and the verse after it. These three, they form a little unit. This 7, 5, 30, 31, and 32. So you can memorize all three of those eventually. This is, of course, Prahlad preaching to his father. Talk about speaking truth to power. This is the original archetype of that. So the first thing is read the translation. So let's read the translation. Prahlad Maharaj replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Now, this is part of our whole review section before we, or actually this comes afterward, but this will come in a few days. So what's happening here is Father wants to know how in heaven's name have you become Krishna conscious? Because he's in this closed system of the demonic school. So he wants to know, how did you become Krishna conscious? So the first thing he says, Father, don't worry, you'll never become Krishna conscious. you're Griha Vritanam, you know. It wasn't on my own. It wasn't, you know. And then the next thing he says, the next important verse is that people who are in this mood of uncontrolled senses and completely fixed on trying to enjoy materialistic household life and materialistic life in general, they don't know what the goal of life is. They don't know that Vishnu is the goal of life. And they have other aspirations which are impossible to fulfill. They're led and encouraged in this false philosophy by other blind people, this andayatandayupniyamanam. And so they remain tightly bound by the modes of nature. And then the third verse answers the question, is that by coming in touch with a pure devotee, who is the pure devotee who Prahlad came in touch with? We must have read this already. Narada Muni, you know, in a very interesting way, while he was still in the womb. And this is the only way, by bathing oneself in the foot dust, means by humble menial service. Service, inquiry, and surrender. So that's the context of this verse, very important verse. So then, having read the translation, become familiar with it, then you look at you determine the meter. Now this meter is very common and easy. This meter is there in the Bhagavad Gita. So there's some variations in this. So the meter is not a problem. Then you look at the synonyms, and you see how each line fits into the translation. So let's look. Sri Prahlada Vacha, Prahlada Maharaj said, Matihi, inclination, na, never, Krishne, unto Lord Krishna, parata, from the instructions of others, svataha, from their own understanding, va, either. So right away, if you read the translation, you can remember it, you see, oh, I see how this works. One's mind, matahi, or inclination, cannot be placed on Krishna, either by instruction from others or one's own effort. You see how you, so you understand as you memorize. And then, you work on the first line. The basic thing for memorization is what we learned in second grade or first grade when we had to memorize, whatever little ditty we had to memorize. Repetition. Repetition is everything. But with understanding. So, but of course there's a step in here that most of you have probably undergone already, but if not, you have to study the Sanskrit pronunciation guide. So to find out how all of these things are pronounced that you don't already know. Like, what is a dot under it pronounced? Krishna. So that you study first, and then you. So let's go over the first line. I'll say, you say, Matirna Krishna Paratak Svatova. Matirna Krishna Paratak Svatova. Okay, so I'm sure time is short. We're not going to go through this whole verse. But this is the method. Read the translation. Become familiar with it. You may want to memorize it, may not. Determine the meter, which in this case is easy. Look at the synonyms and then go over the first line and see how it fits into the translation. So at every step, there's understanding as you memorize the verse. And then it's a question of repetition. It's good to have a partner, somebody who you're, associated with, who you can... peer pressure helps. Did you memorize the verse? I got it down. What happened? Like that. There you get it. And gradually these become second nature. And they're great. There are unlimited verses to memorize. And, they provide a focus for the mind. They control the mind. Matirna Krishna. As long as you're chanting this verse with understanding, you're meditating. You're absorbed in thinking of, in this case, wonderful Prahlad's instructions to his father and also to us. So in the next verse, this one is, very famous. Prabhupada would always quote this verse, especially, in conjunction with the Guru Kula. So this is all about, beginning Krishna consciousness as early as possible. Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of life, a human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary, like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. So this is a little expanded translation, but you can understand the meaning. Very simple, actually. So this verse is, just in case you don't know, this is like a standard common meter. It's called the Anushtup or Shloka meter. It's so common. You find it throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, Ramayana. Eight syllables per line, and there are a few rules for the long and short syllables. But these you find throughout, and they're quite easy if you memorize it. Actually, it has two lines. You break it up into four, because it's easier to chant that way. So, I'll say, you say. Somehow we don't have the synonyms are above. Okay, I see. So, Komar, everyone knows, tender age of childhood, Acharet, should practice, Pragya, one who is intelligent. Dharman Bhagavataniha. This phrase is the origin of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Dharma discourses. He was working on this part of the Bhagavatam, and then he went to New Vrindavan and wrote the Bhagavad Dharma discourse. So Bhagavad Dharma means the science of Krishna consciousness. Durlabham Manusham Janma. Durlabham means difficult to attain. Manusham, man, human being. Janma, birth. It's difficult to attain a human birth, but it's, although it is, Api is, although that birth is adruvam, unsteady or impermanent like all other births, it is artadam. Da here means to give, like dana. It gives the opportunity for the ultimate meaning or value in life. This word art is very important. It means different things, different contexts. Sometimes it just means money. Because, dharma, arta, kama, moksha, economic development. But when you're talking about, in this context, and especially swarta, swa-arta, the real goal of the soul, so to speak, that's what we're trying to achieve. So only in human life can the soul really achieve its own goal. Otherwise, he's conditioned by the externals. Okay, also you say, Komara acharet pragyo. Dharman bhagavataniha. durlabhang manasam janma tadapyan dhruvam artadham. Sorry, time out. Where's my little bag? One, two. That's okay. It's great. All right, so now we will move on to our study of this seventh canto. And the review begins where? Okay, because I did read through these, and I just wanted to read. All right, so we'll read the chapter summary of the fourth chapter or the fifth? Because the fourth is Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. All right, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. So who is Prahlad? And you've already learned how he was instructed by Narada Muni in the womb, right? So in the fifth chapter, right, in the fifth chapter, he begins his instructions to his father. His father, periodically, he didn't know anything. He didn't know anything about he was instructed in the womb. He assumed that he was just, you know, you get the impression that he's his elder son, that he's, you know, he wants to groom him to take over the kingdom. So naturally, he's being instructed by two Brahmins, Shanda and Amarka. They are sons of Shukracharya. Shukracharya means he's an official guru. He's not an acharya like we know the acharya of a pure devotee. And so they're instructing him. And after some time, as all, you know, just like you want to get a report card, how is your son doing in school, right? So Hiranyakashipu takes Prahlad on his lap and very affectionately, you know, he's smelling his head, the little tears are flowing, you know, his affectionate father. He asks him, what did you learn today? What's the best thing you learned today? So then there's this famous verse, which I just saw. He says, Tat sadu manye yasudavarya dehi nam sadasa bhugmina diyama sadgrahat. He says, the best thing I've learned, oh, best of the demons, he calls them Asuryavarya, is that for everyone in this material world whose mind is always disturbed because they are holding on to the impermanent, a sadgrahat, a very important instruction. Best thing to do is just give it up. You know, leave home, leave this andakupam home, which is a materialistic well, dark well, and go to the forest. Namely, go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Krishna. This is the last thing Hiranyakashipu wanted to hear or expected to hear from his son. You know, so the first time he was puzzled. He was kind of bemused. Oh, where did he pick this up? Did our enemy sneak into the school and somehow instruct him, you know, in recess or something? So he mildly chastised the teachers to find out how he learned this, you know. So the teachers took Prahlad, you know, and they were very, very friendly, and they asked him, Prahlad, how did you learn this, you know? And how did you learn the teachings of our enemies? And so Prahlad is thinking, this is illusion personified, this thinking of enemy and friend, you know, which is essential for being a demon. You have to make allies with your friends, and you have to, you know, conquer your enemies, divide and conquer, Machiavelli stuff. This is what they're teaching in that school. But Prahlad, he officially learned it, but he wasn't really into it. You know, he knew that it was all illusion. So, Prahlad was not responding, and they became angry at him. But then they said, well, okay, we can turn him around. He's just a five-year-old boy. So it goes on like that. And then Prahlad is, again and again, you know, Hiranyakashipu comes to, he wants to hear what his son has learned. And so the next time he comes is the verse of the day here. Okay, so we'll read the summary. Let's see. And it'll be easier that way. Get some of the details. Prahlad Maharaj did not carry out the orders of his teachers, for he was always engaged in worshipping Lord Vishnu. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad even by having a snake bite him and by putting him under the feet of elephants, yet he was unsuccessful. There were actually many other ways that he tried to kill them. Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master Shukracharya had two sons named Shanda and Amarka, to whom Prahlad was entrusted for education. Although the teachers tried to educate the boy Prahlad in politics, economics, and other material activities, he did not care for their instructions. Instead, he continued to be a pure devotee. Prahlad never liked the idea of discriminating between one's friends and enemies. Because he was spiritually inclined, he was equal toward everyone. Once upon a time, Hiranyakashipu inquired from his son what the best thing was that he had learned from his teachers. Prahlad replied that a man engrossed in material consciousness of duality, thinking this is mine, that belongs to my enemy, should give up his household of life and go to the forest to worship the Supreme Lord. When Hiranyakashipu heard from his son about devotional service, he decided that this small boy had been polluted by some friend in school. Thus he advised the teachers to take care of the boy so that he would not become a Krishna conscious devotee. But when the teachers inquired from Prahlad why he was going against their teachings, Prahlad taught the teachers that the mentality of ownership is false and that he was therefore trying to become an unalloyed devotee of Lord Vishnu. The teachers, being very angry at this answer, chastised and threatened the boy with many fearful conditions. They taught him to the best of their ability and then brought him before his father. Hiranyakashipu affectionately took his son Prahlad on his lap and then inquired from him what the best thing was that he had learned from his teachers. As usual, Prahlad began praising the nine processes of devotional service, such as Shravanam Kirtanam. That's the verse we'll read today. Thus the king of the demons became extremely angry, chastised the teachers, Shanda and Amarka, for having wrongly trained Prahlad. The so-called teachers informed the king that Prahlad was automatically a devotee and did not listen to their instructions. When they proved themselves innocent, Hiranyakashipu inquired from Prahlad where he had learned Vishnu Bhakti. Prahlad replied that those who are attached to family life do not develop Krishna consciousness. So that's the verse we are memorizing. Matyuna Krishna Paradaksado. Instead, they suffer repeated birth and death in this material world and continue simply chewing the chewed. Prahlad explained that the duty of every man is to take shelter of a pure devotee and thus become eligible to understand Krishna consciousness. So this enraged Hiranyakashipu even more. He threw Prahlad from his lap. Since Prahlad was so treacherous that he had become a devotee of Vishnu, who had killed his uncle Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu asked his assistants to kill him. The assistants of Hiranyakashipu struck Prahlad with sharp weapons, threw him under the feet of elephants, subjected him to hellish conditions, threw him from a peak of a mountain, and tried to kill him in thousands of other ways. But they were unsuccessful. Hiranyakashipu therefore became increasingly afraid of his son Prahlad and arrested him. The sons of Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, Shukracharya, began teaching Prahlad in their own way, but Prahlad Maharaj did not accept their instructions. While the teachers were absent from the classroom, Prahlad began to preach Krishna consciousness in the school, and by his instructions, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became devotees like him. Now, it's interesting. What happened there is that Hiranyakashipu, he became dejected, you know, because his strength was being foiled there, you know, everything, you know, because he killed so many others and frightened so many others, terrorized the universe. But Prahlad was neither frightened nor injured. So he became scared at that. And then Shanda and Amarka, they said, don't worry, he's still just a small boy, we'll straighten him out. You know, because they had experience of being able to mold young children. So that was that, so that happened. And then, finally, because Prahlad was seditious, in other words, it's bad enough that he himself is becoming a devotee, but now he's making all the other kids devotees and undermining the whole foundation of the demonic civilization, you know, the kingdom. So that was the last straw, and that's when Hiranyakashipu decided to kill him himself, and that's when Nrisimhadeva appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu. So that's the basic story. But there's so many important teachings here from Prahlad. And we'll now read text 23, which is perhaps the most important, and it has the biggest purport in the entire Bhagavatam. This is the longest purport, very, very thorough. So, chant the verse. Shri Prahlad Uvacha, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno, Smaranam Parasevanam, Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam, Syakyam Atmanivedanam Iti Pung Sarpita Vishnau Bhaktis Chain Navalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatyadha Tanmanye Ditamuttamam. Would you like someone like to chant? Shri Prahlad Uvacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno Smaradam Parasevanam Achanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Iti Pung Sarpita Vishnu Vaktischena Balakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatyadha Tanmanye Ditamut. One lady, want to try? Shri Prararu Vacha Shavanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Iti Pung Sarpita Vishnu Vaktischa Navalakshana Yeta Bhagavatyadha Tanmanye Ditam. All right, I'll just read them through quickly. You see, you have it on the board, so you don't have to do it back. Just read along with me. Sri Prarada Uvacha, Prahlad Maharaj said, Shravanam hearing, Kirtanam chanting, Vishnu of Lord Vishnu, not anyone else. Smaranam remembering, Parasevanam serving the feet. Archanam offering worship with Shodashopachara, 16 kinds of paraphernalia. Vandanam offering prayers. Dasyam, becoming the servant. Sakyam, becoming the best friend. And Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything, whatever one has. Iti thus, Pungsa, Arpita, offered by the devotee, Vishnu, unto Lord Vishnu, not to anyone else. Bhaktihi, devotional service. Chait, if, Navalakshana, possessing 9 different processes. Creator, one should perform, Bhagavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adha, directly or completely, tat, that, manye, I consider, aditam, learning, uttamam, topmost. Translation, Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with body, mind, and words, these 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So, now, this is a very vast purport, and have we read this at all? This is the first time you're reading this. Okay. So, I guess I'll read the beginning, and then what I'd like to do is focus on the first 2 processes. We'll go from there. When Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father to say something from whatever he had learned, he considered that what he had learned from his spiritual master was the best of all teachings, whereas what he had learned about diplomacy from his material teachers, Shanda and Amarka, was useless. Bhakti padesha nubhavo virakti anyatra cha. So, this is translated as, it's part of a larger verse, which means for the surrendered soul who is practicing pure devotion, 3 things are experienced simultaneously. Bhakti, which is the actual feeling of devotion, feeling of love for Krishna, which is very pleasurable. Para isha anubhava, direct experience of the Lord, face to face. And virakti anyatra cha, which means detachment or dispassion toward everything else. So Prabhupada is focusing on this everything else. And because Prahlad was experiencing these things, he was detached from everything else. That's the meaning of that. This is a symptom of pure devotional service. A pure devotee is interested only in devotional service, not in material affairs. To execute devotional service, one should always engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna or Lord Vishnu. The process of temple worship is called archan. How to perform archana will be explained herein. One should have complete faith in the words of Krishna, who says that he is the great well-wishing friend of everyone, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. A devotee considers Krishna the only friend. This is called Sakyam. Pungsarpita Vishnu. The word Pungsa means by all living entities. There are no distinctions permitting only a man or only a Brahman to offer devotional service to the Lord. Everyone can do so. as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:32. How many are familiar with this verse? Mam hi partha bibhashi. Okay, this is an important verse from the ninth canto, actually, a ninth chapter. Practically every verse in the ninth chapter is quoted. So, Striyo Vaishyas Tata Shudras Tepi Yanti Padam Gatim. Although women Vaishyas and Shudras are considered less intelligent, they also can become devotees and return home back to Godhead. So, in this age, everyone is born a Shudra, so we're all less intelligent. Just encourage. After performing sacrifices, sometimes a person engaged in fruitive activity customarily offers the results to Vishnu. But here it is said, Bhagavat Yadha. One must directly offer everything to Vishnu. So that is kind of karma yoga. That's karma yoga, where you work very hard. You're not thinking of Krishna, although in the back of your mind you know that you're a Krishna servant. But then from the fruits you take a certain portion and offer to Krishna. That's not what's being spoken here. That's what the adha means, directly. One must directly offer everything to Vishnu. This is called sannyas, not merely nyas. A tridandi sannyasi carries three dandas, signifying kaya, mano, vakya, body, mind, and words. All of these should be offered to Vishnu, and then one can begin devotional service. Fruitive workers first perform some pious activities, and then formally or officially offer the results to Vishnu. The real devotee, however, first offers his surrender to Krishna with his body, mind, and words, and then uses his body, mind, and words for the service of Krishna as Krishna desires. So, let's see. All right. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following explanation in his Tatya. The word Shravana refers to giving oral reception to the holy name and descriptions of the Lord's form, qualities, entourage, and pastimes, as explained in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar authorized scriptures. After orally receiving such messages, one should memorize these vibrations and repeat them, kirtanam. This is interesting. We'll practice a little of this memorization if we have time. Smaranam means trying to understand more and more about the Supreme Lord. And Padasevanam means engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to the time and circumstances. Archana means worshipping Lord Vishnu as one does in the temple. And Bandana means offering respectful obeisances. Manmana bhavamadbhakto manjaji mam namaskuru. This is the maskuru there is the same as Vandanam. Vandana means namaskuru, offering obeisances or offering prayers. Thinking oneself to be Nitya Krishna Das, everlastingly a servant of Krishna, is called Dasyam, and Sakyam means being a well-wisher of Krishna. Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him because everyone is constitutionally his servant. Therefore, as a sincere friend of Krishna, one should preach this philosophy, requesting everyone to surrender unto Krishna. Atma Nivedana means offering Krishna everything, including one's body, mind, intelligence, and whatever one may possess. So I'm just going to just skip over. I mean, you can go. This purport can be studied for a month or more. If you just go to number one, you just go down a little bit till we get to number one. Whoops, what happened there? That's it. The one. That's it. Shravanam. Let's read from there. Shravanam, hearing of the holy name of the Lord, Shravanam, is the beginning of devotional service. Although any one of the nine processes is sufficient, in chronological order, the hearing of the holy name of the Lord is the beginning. Indeed, it is essential. As enunciated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is cleansed of the material conception of life, which is due to the dirty modes of material nature. When the dirt is cleansed from the core of one's heart, one can realize the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishwarak Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. That Vigraha is form, and it's Satchidananda, it's eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Thus, by hearing the holy name of the Lord, one comes to the platform of understanding the personal form of the Lord. After realizing the Lord's form, one can realize the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and when one can understand his transcendental qualities, one can understand the Lord's associates. And associates means pastimes. That's what he engages in pastimes. So the Leela is also the four things. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. Just by the name, form, qualities, and pastimes. They're realized progressively with the increase of the purity of the chanting. In this way, a devotee advances further and further toward complete understanding of the Lord as he awakens in realization of the Lord's holy name, transcendental form and qualities, his paraphernalia, and everything pertaining to him. Therefore, the chronological process is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. This same process of chronological understanding holds true in chanting and remembering. When the chanting of the holy name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia is heard from the mouth of a pure devotee, his hearing and chanting are very pleasing. Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the chanting of an artificial devotee or non-devotee. So we're going to stop there for a second and focus on this point. Because Krishna consciousness, or let's say Hare Krishna, has exploded. As you know, there are many, many people chanting and many, many people hearing. But not all of it is being done by pure devotees or following in the footsteps of pure devotees. And if one is not truly chanting in this line, meaning that for the under the instructions of a pure devotee, and desiring to understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can chant Hare Krishna for so many different motivations. To merge into the oneness of the Lord, to gain some material fame or wealth or mystic power. These are spoken of in the third canto by Lord Kapiladev, bhakti in the modes of nature, karma mishra bhakti. This kind of chanting one should avoid. So it's not just that we want to, you know, if it sounds nice, because what do we know? You know, you hear some CD, oh, this sounds very beautiful. Who is it who's actually chanting? You know? There's subtle energies there that you don't hear just from the music, you know. Srila Prabhupada's chanting is so potent, even though musically, you know, it may not, you know, be so refined, but the bhakti is so pure, it enters the heart and it changes one. So be very careful about that. This verse from Sanatana Goswami, Vaishnava Mukho Ginam Putam Hadikatamritam Shavana Naiva Kartavyam Sarpo Chishtam Mitapaya. He compares this chanting from the lips of non-devotees to milk touched by the lips of a serpent. It still tastes like milk. It can be very sweet, but it has poison in it, and it'll affect you badly. So be careful of that. Moving on. Hearing from the text of Bhagavatam is considered the most important process of hearing. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of transcendental chanting of the holy name, and therefore the chanting and hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendentally full of mellows. The transcendental holy name of the Lord may be heard and chanted according to the attraction of the devotee. One may chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, or one may chant the holy name of Lord Rama and the Srinadev, Rama Adi Muta Sikalani Menatishtam. The Lord has innumerable forms and names, and devotees may meditate upon a particular form and chant the holy name according to his attraction. The best course is to hear of the holy name, form, and so on from a pure devotee of the same standard as oneself. In other words, one who is attached to Krishna should chant and hear from other pure devotees who are also attached to Lord Krishna. The same principle applies for devotees attracted to Lord Ram, Lord Nrisimha, and other forms of the Lord. Because Krishna is the ultimate form of the Lord, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, it is best to hear about Lord Krishna's name, form, and pastimes from a realized devotee who is particularly attracted by the form of Lord Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, great devotees like Shukadeva Goswami have specifically described Lord Krishna's holy name, form, and qualities. Unless one hears about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord, one cannot clearly understand the other processes of devotional service. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that one chant the holy name of Krishna, Padam Vijayade Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. If one is fortunate enough to hear from the mouth of realized devotees, he is very easily successful on the path of devotional service. Therefore, hearing the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord is essential. And then Srila Prabhupada ends this section with quoting this famous verse, which he quotes in the preface. Tad bhagva sargo janadaga viplavo yasmin bhuti shlogam abadna vatyapi naman inantasya shonkitanaya shinvanti gayanti gunanti sarava. Verses describing the name, form, and qualities of Anantadev, the unlimited Supreme Lord, are able to vanquish all the sinful reactions of the entire world. Therefore, even if such verses are improperly composed, devotees hear them, describe them, and accept them as bona fide and authorized. In this connection, Sri Goswami has remarked that a pure devotee takes advantage of another pure devotee by trying to hear from him about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord. If there is no such opportunity, he alone chants and hears the Lord's holy name. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chukshu Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So this purport is very vast. So we'll just focus on this first process of devotional service. The whole process of Krishna consciousness begins with hearing. Actually, any attainment of knowledge begins with hearing. When you, from the first word, how did we learn to speak? You know, from hearing our parents or brothers or sisters or others speak. And gradually, the miracle of speech takes place. No one knows how it occurs. Of course, it's coming also from the past life. You're remembering so many things. But the idea is that hearing is essential and primary in acquiring knowledge. And it's not just the knowledge that you're acquiring. You're also associating. The most important form of association or sangha is hearing. When we talk about sadhu sangha, it means primarily to hear and to hear in the right mood. Prabhupada's famous phrase, submissive oral reception, is actually a translation of a word, shushusho. Shushusho appears right in the second verse of the Bhagavatam, when Dharmak Projit, the Kaitava verse, when he describes the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the last line, it describes how one who hears this Purana, with the proper mood, immediately has the Lord revealed in his heart. And what is the use of any other scripture? You know, that's also there. So it's very potent, but that shushusho word has to be understood. It means hearing with great attention, and submissively means with the intention, the receptivity of taking the words in and acting on them. In other words, we don't usually hear that way because the mind is giving us so much static, you know. But that kind of hearing, a real attentive hearing, and with the, you know, drinking it in, and then with the intention of acting on the instructions, that's shushusho. So that hearing is the basis upon which all the rest of the practices of devotional service come. Now, the natural thing happens when you hear and then you repeat. You know, the kirtan is like the essence. Is like the perfect distillation of the hearing and chanting process. You hear, hopefully with great attention, and then you chant with as much devotion as you can bring to bear. Hear and chant, hear and chant. Now, it's said that chanting, in one sense, is almost primary because you can be sitting there and the sound vibration is going and your mind is a million miles away. You may not be applying any mind to it. You don't even hear it. But if you're chanting, at least some of your mind is there. They're chanting, you know. And so, you know, this is our sadhana, our practice. When we practice our japa, which is our, you know, most important practice, everyone knows the mind's going here, bring it back, going here, bring it back. Let me hear, like that. So that's, I've been realizing because, you know, last night I was at one of these kirtans. I don't know how many of you were there, maybe not. Were you there with Madhava? And, you know, they're having a different place until the weekend when they have the 12-hour. So it was very nice because you don't hear those kind of kirtans so often. And, you know, very slow and meditative, you know, and on, like a whole hour of just the same tune, practically the same beat. At the end, he was getting a little faster, you know. But you really, you can see your mind, you know, you can see. And when you get just an inkling of actually concentration, the whole experience changes. I mean, you experience that with your japa too. If you actually concentrate for a little bit and you're just hearing and the mind is kind of showing you some mercy and not taking you, whoa, what is that? You know, it's the holy name. It's Krishna trying to break through the barrier that we could. So this hearing, it's really a very deep thing. And to hear with one point in attention in the nectar of instruction. You know, Nectar of Instruction, text number 8. There's a wonderful part of the purport where Prabhupada quotes Bhaktisiddhanta of the various stages of hearing. You know, Shravana Dasha, the stage of hearing. And then, I forget them all, Varana Dasha, acceptance. It means where the mind quiets and you're actually accepting it and there's no static, you know. And it goes on to the point of samadhi, all based on this hearing. And he said, this is the essence of advice. To spend our whole day, you know, every day hearing and chanting. Of course, we have our other duties to perform. But ultimately, we want to come to the point where, or you have certain days or weeks. Say you go to India, you go to Vrindavan, you're able to do that sometime. Or you have, a weekend, you know. Everything's kicked out, you're just hearing and chanting, serving, you know, doing devotional service. And in this way, you make advancement. But, Srila Prabhupada intended his society to be a facility for, these nine processes. And what is the morning program? It centers on hearing and chanting. You know, you begin, traditionally, you know, I mean, you have a little different adaption here, but, you know, with Mangalarti and with meditating on the Guru, and then, you know, there's the Sringadeva and the Tulsi prayer. You know, all of these, it's hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting. And then, of course, the japa, you know, which is the most essential hearing and chanting. So, the hearing, this is the way in which, and what did Prahlad do? All he did was hear. He didn't do much chanting in the womb. He just heard, you know, purely. So, I've been thinking that this thought came to my mind, is that, we don't really know, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I don't really know what it's like to really concentrate and become one-pointed and absorbed, you know? I mean, the yogis really practice for that, you know, these eight processes. To come to the point of dharana is not so easy, right? You control the mind with the pranayama, withdraw the senses, yam-niyam, the sitting, you know? All of that just to control the mind. But, and come to the point of concentration. And then from there comes meditation. And above that is samadhi. There's three stages, even in Ashtanga Yoga, of full concentration. So we're meant to come to that point. The thing is that we should aspire. This is another thing I was thinking about. How, you know, why should we read this book? You know, why should we chant? Why should we do all these things? We need to hear regularly about the goal, about the experience. That, you know, our own personal goal that we can achieve in devotional service. About what it means to be in prema. To really be, swimming and diving in an ocean of ananda. Because we're enjoying beings. What is it? Why do we forget Krishna? Because we've lost for any amount of time the ability to understand that very refined pleasure of service to Krishna, meditating on Krishna's form and qualities and pastimes and name. And we look outside again because we're habituated. This is what it means to be conditioned. We're so habituated to trying to look outside for the pleasure that with a little flickering of the mind immediately goes back to what it knows, which is trying to enjoy outside. So, but if we hear and we hear about the experiences, read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, read the Nectar of Devotion, read the lives. You know how if you go to the Catholic Church, they have the lives, right? The lives of the saints, these books. And what's the point? You read about these saints. It's amazing. Actually, I was reading about Teresa of Avila recently. She had a pretty amazing life. I'm not going to get into it. But she was, very austere, very renounced. She prayed constantly and she achieved a measure of realization, you know, of bhakti in that context as much as she could. But, you know, why do they keep track of those lives? You know, to inspire. You know, so we can have some example to aspire for and try to emulate. We're meant to become saintly. You know, that's the whole idea. It's to purify the negative aspects of our personality and what's left, the essence, which is pure bhakti. We're all pure devotees, you know, ultimately, underneath all the conditioning. And so this hearing process is essential, but it has to be done, and we should refine it so that it's all a question of the mind, so that we're hearing with great, great attention. Now, these verses, now going back, because he talked about memorization, we don't have much time. We have so many aids, right? We have so many facilities for helping us to refine our hearing, refine our consciousness through this process. So these verses, just like as you well know, Kalakanta Babu is a poet, very accomplished poet, I may add. And you know what is it about that? Well, it's materially attractive, you know. In other words, it grabs the mind. A poem grabs the mind more than a prose passage because it has rhythm, it has rhyme, you know, it has concision, you know, conciseness. And there's something about that. So if you think of our books, you know, the main books that we have, it's all poetry. You know, the Bhagavatam, the CC, the Gita, it's a song. You know, so why? You know, because Well, one thing is the spirit is soaring and they're writing and speaking in this poetry. But also it helps us. If you discipline the mind for a little bit, so you memorize a verse, this is an aid. It's a great aid to our concentration and our absorption. So I wanted to share with you, can you bring up another verse? Is this like you have a little database here? I wanted to just practice with it. Now, there's different verses, categories of verses. Roughly, there's the preaching verses and the nectar verses. Now, there's a lot of cross-pollination. A lot of the preaching verses are also nectar verses. But some of them are just about Krishna, his form, his qualities, you know, like that. And therefore, our own enlivenment. Just like probably all of you have been to this temple in Alatra. Right, you've seen those incredible deities there, and I will say this is the first visit where I've seen Krishna Balaram, and it's just, they're stunning, they bring your mind, you don't want to leave the temple. They're absolutely, Radha Sundar are also stunning, Gaurnatai, but there's been a definite increase in the Shakti energy, the Bhakti energy in that temple, at least in my view. So just imagine if you could always have those deities in your mind. At any moment of the day, you could recall the details of that dressing. What a wonderful treasure it is. The whole idea is to see and then you remember during the day, but so many things happen. So these verses, there are aids in remembering and enlivening others. So I'd like to call one verse. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if we can look for it. And I had the reference. Can you look it up? Do you have a database? Madhuram, Madhuram? Okay. Yes. CC Madhya 21:136. And we can actually memorize this verse today. It's a very easy verse because it has mostly the same word. Madhuram. Madhuram means sweet. In all his forms. You look up the word sweet, it actually comes from a Sanskrit word. Svadu. Svadu, svadu. But the word svadu is the origin of the word sweet. So, just as the Bhagavatam is sweet, how is it sweet? Well, it's sweet to all the senses. So, 21:137. Now, can you click on it and you should get... Did I say 136? Yes, yeah, 136. 136. Go ahead. Okay. So this is our verse. Let's use our system. All right, Dravida's 7 easy steps to memorizing a verse. So first we'll look at the translation. Okay, my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is even sweeter than his body. But his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. Now that's a nice verse. But now let's look at the Sanskrit. You see, the Sanskrit is sweeter than English. I think we can all agree. And then I have a little English poem for you also, which is less sweet than the Sanskrit, but more sweet than the prose. That is Prabhupada's translation. Okay, so the very easy synonyms, Madhuram, Madhuram, Vaparasa. So Vapu means form. Madhuram means sweet. Vapu means form, body. Asya, Vibho. It's the name of the Lord, means the great, great one, Vibho. So Madhuram, Madhuram, Vaparasa, Vibho. Madhuram, Madhuram, Vadanam, Madhuram. So you know what Madhuram means. The second line, Vadanam means face. Simple. Madhugandhi. Now, believe it or not, Gandhi's name, Mahatma Gandhi, he means the fragrant one, I guess. So Gandhi means fragrance. That's what it means. No one knows that. They all say Gandhi, but it's not G-H-A-N-D-I, it's G-A-N-D-H-I. So there, anyway, Madhu in this case, another Madhu means honey, so the fragrance of honey, okay? And Mridu, this is the hardest word, Mridu means soft. It's that smile we see on Krishna without any teeth showing. That's Mridu Smitam, endearing. So Mridu Smitam, and then Etad, this, Aho, oh my Lord, oh how wonderful it is. Madhuram, 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 Madhuram. You know that line already. So you already know this. You know most of the verse already, just by looking at it. So now, the only other thing, now remember this, the second part was the meter. The beat is like simple as it can be. Madhuram, Madhuram, Vaparasya Vibho. Madhuram, Madhuram, Vadanam, Madhuram. Madhugandhi Mridu Smita Metadaho. Madhuram, Madhuram, Madhuram. See how wonderful? So let's see if we can learn it. We can do it. You can write it by next time. So, first line. I'll say, you say. Madhuram, Madhuram, Vaparasya Vibho.
Madhuram,
Now, the way to do it is I'll say, you say, read it, and then we'll do it a few times, and after one or two times, close your eyes or don't look at the board. See if you can do it just by hearing. Madodam, madodam, vapot asya vibhor. Madhuram, madhuram, vapur asya vibhor. Okay, who wants to lead? Krishna Kripa? If you need, you can look. Madhuram, madhuram, vapur asya. Now, of course, the idea is when you chant this, you should try to see the form, beautiful form of Krishna Balaram, Radha Shamsa. Beautiful. Vapur. Okay, one of the ladies want to try? Go ahead. Don't be shy, it's easy. You can say. You can see. You look. Madhuram, madhuram, vapurasya vibhor. Okay, time is limited, so we'll do the second line. Easy line. One word to learn. Madhuram, madhuram, vadanam, madhuram. Madhuram, madhuram, vadanam, madhuram. Krishna Kripa. Madhuram, madhuram, vadanam. Now, you learned, you already have 50% of the verse. The last line is easy. So you got 75% of the verse already. The third line is the only one we really have to focus on. Okay. So now, see what it means. If you can read it from the synonyms, you know, first, so as we chant, and then gradually you'll understand. Madhugandhi mridu smitame tadaho. Madhugandhi mridu smitame tadaho. Go ahead. One lady want to try? You can. Look, go ahead. Madhugandhi. Yeah. It's easy. Okay. Who wants to do it? You say. Madhugandhi mridu smitame tadaho. All right, last line. You did the last line. You don't have to look. Go ahead. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. Okay. So, we'll work on this first. Now, here's the English poem. I'll make it available through Kalika. Sweet, sweet is my dear Lord's form. Sweet is still his face, so fair. But his honey-scented, gentle smile is sweet beyond compare. Hare Krishna. So, you see how much fun this is? Now, if you remember, this is Bilva Mangal Thakur. This is the Krishna Karanamrita. And there's unlimited verses. Now, I'll share one other verse. I don't expect you to memorize it. But this is also by Bilva Mangal Thakur and also ends in the words, Madhuram, Madhuram. In the 87th chapter of the 10th canto, we have an incredible explosion of philosophical presentation by the personified Vedas. And it's in a pretty incredible meter, you know. It's a jazzy meter. There's no way to get around it. And being an aficionado of jazz before I joined, I was just tickled that before there was even anything, because the Vedas are praying to Mahavishnu before the creation, right? So before there was anything, there was jazz. So this is very interesting. This is the famous Jaya 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 Majita Dosha Gabita Gunam Tomasi Yadatpana Samavadunda Samastabhaga That is the actual meter. Now it's a little slower, you know. But did Bilva Mangal write any verses in that meter? And so I have this whole archive of verses in addition to Karanamrita, and I found one that's sweet, sweet, sweet. So I'll just share this with you, and then we can end. Sorry, there wasn't so much discussion. Okay, I'm sorry. There's just so much. So he says, this is a great meditation on Krishna. He says, Duta tapani hiduma dabilo pitakula baham. Vidachita chandaka badadna ma badadnam chakatam. Mamadishamam yudeti muditana na bimba maho. Kimapikishoda dama madodam, madodam, madodam. I'll tell you what it means. So he says, Druta tapani yaduma da vilopi. That's the first phrase. Vilopi means to destroy. Mada means pride. And tapaniya, I discovered, is a very highly refined gold, pure gold. And druta means molten. So highly refined molten gold is very proud of its shine. It's very brilliant, golden shine. But Krishna's dukula, his garments that he's wearing, silken yellow garments, destroy that pride. In other words, eclipses that molten gold. Vilopi dukula vaham. Vidachita chandaka abadanam. He has fashioned the beautiful ornament of a peacock plume on his head. Abadanam. And he himself is the abadanam, or ornament of the whole universe. Abadanam jagatam. Mama drisham abhyudeti. He has come before my eyes. Now, of course, Bilva Mangala was blinded, with the whole story behind that. So he had no physical eyes, but his spiritual eyes. He's always describing, oh, Krishna's coming before my eyes now. He's seeing Krishna in his spiritual vision. Mama drisham abhyudeti, with his muditanana bimba maho, with his beautiful moon-like orb, full moon-like orb face, very joyful. Mudita anana bimba maho. Kimapi kishoda dharma modadam. The word kimapi is an idiom in Sanskrit that often means it's inexpressible. It's beyond my words, you know. Kimapi kishoda dharma. This aspect, this kishora aspect, the young boy aspect of Krishna is modadam, modadam, modadam. Needs no translation. So that's the verse. And there's thousands of those. So if you cultivate nice hearing, chanting, remembering, and memorizing, you'll have this with you and it'll help you. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Okay. Okay, please go on. Yeah. It's already there. You can download Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as an EPUB book for the iPad and the iPod. It's not Nook and Kindle yet, but it is available for a bookshelf. What do they call it? This app? This app that I have on my little iPad. It's also their big thing on the iPod, iPad, like that. So it's there. But I'll tell you, you can't copy out of it. Not from the iPad. You can't copy anything from there. So this little pocket Veda base that they have is better for that. It's the same format as this, but it's for the iPad or iPod, and you can copy, you can put footnotes or bookmarks and stuff like that. Yeah. Any other questions? Discussion? Prahlad Maharaj. Yes, Guru. Go ahead. No.
Were you in the purport mentioning how you use a lot of different terms to describe who should avoid hearing from? There are lots of different terms, I think, for who we should avoid hearing from, like imitation devotees. And so right. I was wondering, even within our society, is it sometimes do you have to use wise discrimination?
Well, generally, there's supposed to be, you know, for someone who formally gives class. The question was, in the purport, there was we're enjoined to avoid hearing from non-devotees. And there were different words used, like imitation devotees, like that. So what about within our own ISKCON society? Someone may not be on the highest level and they're still there speaking. Well, the idea is that, generally speaking, someone who will be asked to give class, there should be some, you know, understanding the person is following strictly. And we understand, oh, they may not be on the highest level of prema bhakti, but that's not what's being talked about here. The word avaishnav is a serious word, you know. It just doesn't mean someone who's not a pure devotee. It means someone who's not a devotee at all and doesn't even aspire to be. And is really has taken... because there's a shakti that awakens. If anyone chants Hare Krishna, and there's going to be something's going to happen. There's going to be some feeling of spirituality, some pleasure, whatever. But if someone really doesn't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or wants to merge into the impersonal Brahman, then that chanting is not going to inspire bhakti in the hearers. You probably inspire someone because you can become very charismatic, you can become a very good musician, and you can chant whatever you want. No one's very strict to you. And in this way, you can get a following. Anyone can get a following. today. You just get a website and you have a little bit of, you know, get it together. And before, you know, there's somebody out there who follow you. So, and it's true. There are religions being invented day by day. Yeah, in this age of God. So, Yes, exactly. So anyway, this is not really meant, you know, to stop us from hearing God brothers and God sisters chant Hare Krishna, but outsiders who are not at all related. That's the idea to prevent us. Hopefully, you know, by our chanting under the guidance and the protection of Srila Prabhupada and his followers, we'll become pure and our chanting will become pure. And in this way, we'll help each other to be Krishna conscious. This is the whole point of the society. Any other discussion? Prahlad, yes, Prahlad. So Prahlad, now pra is an intensifier. Prabhupada would often quote that. Prakrishna Rupena. So any word that begins with pra, and there are many, is an intensifier. So Prahlad means he who gives great pleasure to hopefully his father. That's why he named him Prahlad, but it didn't work out that way. So like we say, Prahlad Alada Dahine, right? So what does that mean? The word is actually Prahlad Alada. The word is Alad. Alad or Lad, like Ladani can also be Aladani Shakti. It's a name for Radharani. So Prahlad Alada Dahine. So you're offering your obeisances to Nrisingadev, who gives delight to Prahlad, Prahlada. And people don't many devotees don't realize that the word Prahladananda, Prahladananda Swami, it's a name for Lord Nrisingadev. That's a name for Nrisingadev. He who is the Ananda of Prahlad. He is the bliss of Prahlad. Interesting. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so that word Lad, you know, Ladani. And one thing, you know, just for chanting japa, when you chant Hare, Hare is Radharani, right? We're addressing Radharani. And she is the Ladini Shakti personified. She is also personified love for Krishna. Radha Krishna Praniya Vikritir. This is explained in the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when we chant, it's important to hear that name. Sometimes, you know, I find myself, all right, I'm hearing Krishna a little bit, but I'm really slurring over the others, you know. But that love of God we want is personified in that name. And when you hear that, then that awakens it. So, this is important. Oh, I'm sorry. Shadira vidyajal, kayakal, jive pere vishaya sagare, tarmanje jivayati, loba moso dumati, take jeta kotuna sangsare, Krishna maradoyamoy, karibare jifajoy, swaprasad nadilo bhai, sayanamita pao, radha krishna gunagao, pemidako chaitanya nitai. Jai Namanitai, Mahaprasadam Ki Jai. Just fruit. I can make it open. Oh, I'm sorry? Ladini. Ladini. Yeah, H-L. Ladini. Now, one thing is peculiar, and you'll come, since you're in the seventh canto, you're going to see in the verses, like today we had Prahlad Uvacha. And you know, well, that must be a misprint, right? It was supposed to be that. No, it's not. But the L and the R are very closely associated, and in that particular context, I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, the L is pronounced like an R. Like there's a word, there's a letter which is very rare, extremely rare, there's only one word that is used in, the L with a dot under it, and it's pronounced lripta, you know, it's practically, it means to fashion, and you'll only find it in that word, so you very rarely see it. So there you go, something you note it every day. So that L and R, you know, and it's interesting, isn't it, how the Chinese can't pronounce the L's, they only make them R's? What do they say? Hale, they make the R's into L's. Hale Krishna. There's a nice story about that when Tamal Krishnamurti tells about when he first started preaching in China. People had difficulty, you know, pronouncing. You know, Hale Krishna. Okay, it's the sincerity that counts, you know. And one fellow, he couldn't chant, and he just couldn't do it. All right, Hare Krishna. Turned out later, he was chanting 64 rounds every day. He was just an expert chanter, and he pronounced perfectly after a while. So Krishna's looking, you know, there's this phrase, Bhava Grahi Janardana. Does anyone hear that phrase? You know, those have been around a while. So Janardan, Krishna, he sees the bhava. He sees your mood, your sincerity. And this is really an essential idea for how Prabhupada spread this movement, you know. Because when he came, what could he introduce? You know, basically just chanting and prasadam. That was how it all started. And Prabhupada speaking from the Yatsasan, you know, the knowledge. But nobody knew anything. The behavior was weird and, you know, crazy. Yet he didn't give up because he saw that there was some spark of sincerity there. And that sincerity was mostly expressed for him. He gave him his own wonderful association, and the devotees became attached to him, which is perfect. As we sing every day, Shiguru Charana Rati Ese Uttama Gati, that the Uttama Gati, now the word Gati is interesting. Gati normally means goal, right? Gati, but it also means the way to the goal. And in the two main prayers that we sing in the morning to the spiritual master, namely the Guru Bhashtaka and the Shiguru Charana song, that word gati appears. In both cases, it means the means of advancement. So when you say Shiguru Charana Rati, Ese Uttama Gati, means affection or attraction for the lotus feet of the Guru is the best means of advancement. That's the actual meaning of that phrase. So that's the way this movement began. Devotees loved Prabhupada, he loved them, and then they were willing to reform their practices and chant to become pure on the basis of that affection and that attraction. And it's a central principle of devotion throughout. The syntax. In other words, it's mixed up. How do you scope it? Yeah, this is actually one of the beauties of Sanskrit, is that it's designed for poetry, for these verses. It's an inflected language, means that the ending of the word determines how it's used in the sentence. Whereas in English, we have all the ofs and the does and the ings and all the stuff that we have to put in there, you know. So it's crude. And therefore, poetry is also cruder. You can only do so much. So you will find sometimes, like it's a nice verse, Ishwaretat adineshu balisheshu dvishachusha prema maitri kipo peksha yakkaroti samadhyama. So it means that the first four is just a list. Ishwar is Krishna, or unto Krishna. Tat adineshu, those in related to Krishna, the devotees, balisheshu, the innocent, and vishatsu, the envious. So you don't know what's going on yet. You just got a list, you know. So then the next line gives you the relationships. Each thing goes to it, you know. Prema for Ishra, maitri, friendship for the devotees, kripa, mercy for the innocent, and upeksha, neglect for the demons, you know. So you have to see how it's parallel, you know. So it's an interesting way of organizing things. So that's why you have to, you know, you need a Sanskritist, someone who's skilled, can take it apart and see according to the endings, this goes with this, this goes with this, and then you unpack it and put it into a proper sense, English sense. That's the idea. Anything else? Yes. Yes.
Are you willing to recite the
Chaitanya? The Chaitanya. Oh boy. Now, you mean the poetic version of it?
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to pull it out from here. Because I must confess I don't know them all by heart. You mean the one that ends, okay. All right. I've got a request, so let me. Okay. So this is the Chaitanya Ashtaka. There's actually three of them at the beginning of the Stavamala. These are Rupa Goswami's verses about Lord Chaitanya. And there's several, maybe half a dozen quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But due to the grace of Kusha Kradaprabhu, we have the whole thing. And one of them especially inspired me, the one where he says, you know, please have mercy upon this fool. I was attracted to that. And so I put it into poetry. I should have much more done by now. Okay, let's see if I can find this. Here we go. And I also have a Nityananashtaka in poetry, which is pretty good. All right. So to save time, I'll dispense with the Sanskrit. Let's see what we got here. Your lotus feet are worshipped by the multitude of gods. So this is a meditation on Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. You know, this is where Rupa Goswami had the most association with him. When he went to visit for months and months, he saw him there in Puri. He said, your lotus feet are worshipped by the multitude of gods, beginning with Lord Shiva, in whose heart devotion throbs. You've made Lord Jagannath's great city by the sea your home, and there you shine with splendor as in ecstasy you roam. For all your loving devotees who beam like many moons, you are a wish-fulfilling tree bestowing endless boons. O Lord Chaitanya Shri Mukunda, Shashi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. Shripad Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya never finds the limits of your glories, what to speak of lesser minds. Even Lord Ananta and your other incarnations find their power to extol you fraught with limitations. Your vast intelligence will surely never know defeat. I humbly bow before you and most earnestly entreat, O Lord Chaitanya Shri Mukunda, Shashi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. The glorious Upanishads had kept the secret sealed. By them the gem of pure devotion never was revealed. Nor did your most exalted incarnations show that jewel, for only you yourself could bring about the great renewal of Krishna Bhakti. And behold, you've reached your lotus hand into the nectar sea and cast that gem upon this land. O Lord Chaitanya Shri Mukunda, Shashi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. Overwhelmed with love of Krishna, who is none but you, you dance ecstatically, astounding three-eyed Lord Shambhu. To all your humble devotees, you gladly manifest the nectar of devotion. They feel infinitely blessed. The proud and egotistical can never know your glories. To them, accounts of your great deeds are just so many stories. O Lord Chaitanya Shri Mukunda Shachi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. And here's my favorite one of it. Even low-born sinful souls entrapped in Kali's age, suffering unnumbered pains that no one can assuage, are instantly delivered when you kindly seek them out and flood them with your splendid mercy, making bhakti sprout. And so with heart rejoicing at your mercy's endless store, I take full shelter of your lotus feet and then implore, O Lord Chaitanya, Shri Mukunda, Shashi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. And wait for Sri iPod to do its thing. Okay. Trickling from your lotus mouth, the honey nectar stream of your pure words enlightens all and showers bliss supreme upon the humble bumblebees who are your devotees. What use to them are dry philosophies, austerities? You are an ocean full of gems, the holy names, which bless all people on this planet with supreme auspiciousness. O Lord Chaitanya Shri Mukunda Shashi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. The beauty of your face defeats the full moon's soothing glow. From full-blown lotus petal eyes, your loving glances flow. By clusters of your gentle smiles, your lovely lips are graced. Your chest is broad. Your arms are like two glorious upraised snakes. Your handsome form defeats 100 million Kamadevs. And best of all, your mercy floods this world in endless waves. O Lord Chaitanya Shri Mukunda, Shashi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. And finally, that's number 7. O Lord, whose splendor calls to mind the golden daffodil, I am the lowest sinner in this world of sinners. Still, you overlook the faults of one whose faults are like an ocean and bless him with the strength to practice unalloyed devotion. With this in mind, O Lord, who are most kind to fallen souls, I ask you with a humble heart, devoid of mundane goals, O Lord Chaitanya Shri Mukunda Shachi's precious jewel, please shower your compassion on this wretched, stubborn fool. And the Palashruti for hearing it. O festival of happiness for all this world of woe, O Lord who caused the joy in Shachi's heart to overflow, O fulgent moon whose glow is your unending spotless fame, O Bhagavan whose mission is to spread your holy name. O Sri Chaitanya Chandra, kindly grant this one request. May those who hear these verses, feeling purified and blessed, while deeply contemplating your exquisite lotus feet, attain pure love for you and make their blessed lives complete. Hari Hari Bol.